Welcome to Episode 7 of Public Domain Radio, Mythology and Folklore. You can see the transcript and find out more at publicdomain.lauragibbs.net. Today I'm featuring a story from the LibriVox audiobook of Told in the Coffee House, Turkish Tales, by Cyrus Adler and Alan Ramsey. This book was published in 1898, which puts it in the public domain in the United States. You can find the LibriVox audiobook online at LibriVox and at the Internet Archive, and you can find the text version of the book at the Internet Archive. The story is How the Junkman Traveled to Find Treasure in His Own Yard, and the LibriVox reader is Kara Lynn.
Chapter 5. How the Junkman Traveled to Find Treasure in His Own Yard. In one of the towers overlooking the Sea of Marmara and skirting the ancient city of Stamboul, there lived an old junkman who earned a precarious livelihood in gathering cinders and useless pieces of iron and selling them to smiths. Often did he moralize on the sad kismet that had reduced him to the task of daily laboring for his bread to make a shoe, perhaps for an ass. Surely he, a true Muslim, might at least be permitted to ride the ass. His eternal longing often found satisfaction in passing his hours of sleep in dreams of wealth and luxury. But with the dawning of the day came reality and increased longing. Often did he call on the spirit of sleep to reverse matters, but in vain. With the rising of the sun began the gathering of the cinders and iron. One night he dreamt that he begged this nocturnal visitor to change his night to day, and the spirit said to him, "Go to Egypt, and it shall be so." This encouraging phrase haunted him by day and inspired him by night. So persecuted was he with the thought that when his wife said to him from the door, "Have you brought home any bread?" he would reply, "No, I have not gone. I will go tomorrow," thinking she had asked him, "Have you gone to Egypt?" At last, when friends and neighbors began to pity poor Ahmed, for that was his name, as a man on whom the hand of Allah was heavily laid, removing his intelligence, he one morning left his house, saying, I go, to the land of wealth." And he left his wife wringing her hands in despair, while the neighbors tried to comfort her. Poor Ahmed went straight on board a boat which he had been told was bound for Iskender, Alexandria, and assured the captain that he was summoned thither and that he was bound to take him. Half-witted and mad persons being more holy than others, Ahmed was conveyed to Iskender. Arriving in Iskender, Haji Ahmed roamed far and wide, proceeding as far as Cairo in search of the luxuries he had enjoyed at Constantinople when in the land of Morpheus, which he had been promised to enjoy in the sunshine if he came to Egypt. Alas for Haji Ahmed, the only bread he had to eat was that which was given him by sympathizing humanity. Time sped on, sympathy was growing tired of expending itself on Haji Ahmed, and his crusts of bread were few and far between. Wearied of life and suffering, he decided to ask Allah to let him die, and wandering out to the pyramids, he solicited the stones to have pity and fall on him. It happened that a Turk heard this prayer and said to him, "Why so miserable, father? Has your soul been so strangled that you prefer its being dashed out of your body to its remaining the prescribed time in bondage?" "Yes, my son," said Haji Ahmed, Far away in Stamboul, with the help of God, I managed as a junkman to feed my wife and myself. But here am I, in Egypt, a stranger, alone and starving, with possibly my wife already dead of starvation, and all this through a dream. Alas, alas, my father, that you at your age should be tempted to wander so far from home and friends because of a dream. Why, were I to obey my dreams, I would at this present moment be in Stamboul, digging for a treasure that lies buried under a tree. I can even now, although I have never been there, describe where it is. In my mind's eye I see a wall, a great wall, that must have been built many years ago, and supporting or seeming to support this wall are towers with many corners, towers that are round, towers that are square, and others that have smaller towers within them. In one of these towers, a square one, there lived an old man and woman, and close by the tower is a large tree, and every night when I dream of the place, the old man tells me to dig and disclose the treasure. But, father, I am not such a fool as to go to Stamboul and seek to verify this. It is an oft-repeated dream and nothing more. See what you have been reduced to by coming so far. Yes, said Haji Ahmed, it is a dream and nothing more, but you have interpreted it. Allah be praised, you have encouraged me. I will return to my home. And Haji Ahmed and the young stranger parted, the one grateful that it had pleased Allah to give him the power to receive and encourage a dropping spirit, and the other grateful to Allah that when he had despaired of life, a stranger should come and give him the interpretation of his dream. He certainly had wandered far and long to learn that the treasure was in his own garden. Haji Ahmed, in due course, much to the astonishment of both wife and neighbors, again appeared upon the scene, not a much changed man. In fact, he was the cinder and iron gatherer of old. To all questions as to where he was and what he had been doing, he would answer, "A dream sent me away, and a dream brought me back." And the neighbors would say, "Truly, he must be blessed." One night Haji Ahmed went to the tree, provided with spade and pick that he had secured from an obliging neighbor. After digging a short time, a heavy case was brought to view, in which he found gold, silver, and precious jewels of great value. Haji Ahmed replaced the case and earth and returned to bed, much lamenting that it had pleased God to furnish women, more especially his wife, with a long tongue, long hair, and very short wits. Alas, he thought, if I tell my wife, I may be hung as a robber, for it is against the laws of nature that a woman should keep a secret. Yet, becoming more generous when thinking of the years of toil and hardship she had shared with him, he decided to try and see if, by chance, his wife was not an exception to other women. Who knows, she might keep the secret. To test her at no risk to himself and the treasure, he conceived a plan. Crawling from his bed, he sallied forth and brought, found or stole, an egg. This egg on the following morning he showed to his wife and said to her, "Alas, I fear I am not as other men, for evidently in the night I laid this egg, and, wife mine, if the neighbors hear of this, your husband, the long-suffering Haji Ahmed, will be bastinadoed, bowstrung, and burnt to death. Ah, truly, my soul is strangled." And without another word, Haji Ahmed, with a sack on his shoulder, went forth to gather the cast-off shoes of horse, ox, or ass, wondering if his wife would prove an exception in this, as she had in many other ways, to other women. In the evening he returned, heavily laden with his finds, and as he neared home he heard rumors, ominous rumors, that a certain Haji Ahmed, who had been considered a holy man, had done something that was unknown in the history of man, even in the history of hens, that he had laid a dozen eggs. Needless to add that Haji Ahmed did not tell his wife of the treasure, but daily went forth with his sack to gather iron and cinders, and invariably found, when separating his finds of the day, in company with his wife, at first one, and then more gold and silver pieces, and now and then a precious stone.
Thank you for listening to Episode 7 of Public Domain Radio, Mythology and Folklore. You can get the transcript and find out more at publicdomain.lauragibbs.net.